Hallelujah. So if you happen to be with us on Wednesday evening, this Wednesday evening, this whole month is with the theme halftime adjustments. But this Wednesday evening, I talked about finding your worth in Him. Finding your worth in Him. And I read this scripture, which I think is befitting, and then I want to move into talking about the unconditional love of our Father towards you and I. It's in Luke 3, 21 and 22. It says, "Now when all the people were baptized, Jesus was also baptized. And while he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in a bodily form like a dove. And a voice came out of heaven, 'You are my beloved Son. In you I am well pleased.'" You are my beloved Son. In you I am well pleased. Whenever I read this, the first thing I think about is how God the Father affirmed the Son at the beginning of his earthly ministry. Before he did anything, the Father affirmed him. And I believe that's important. I believe it's important for you and I to understand that, even as how the Father sees you and I. Because you see, what he was doing was he was establishing Jesus' identity right then. I said this on Wednesday, that we're living in a time where culture is shaping us. Culture is shaping our world. And as a result of it, when there's not the voice of a Father, when there's not the voice of our Heavenly Father that's speaking and we're hearing and receiving it, we can be moved and swayed by some of the things that the culture wants to present to us. And that's where the danger lies, and I believe where there is the opportunity for what we're calling the halftime adjustment. When you read in the scriptures and you read in Matthew 5 and Matthew 6, and I just ask you to make note of that so that when you have time, you can read through that. But over and over and over, Jesus keeps talking about his Father. He keeps talking about his Father. And I believe there's one thing that God wants you and I to get today is a renewed sense that he is our Father. I don't know about you, but when I pray Father. I don't say God. I pray Father. When I'm talking to him, I say Father. Sometimes I'm riding in my car and I just say, "My Father." That's all I say. He may say, "What is it, son?" But that's the relationship that I've had from a small child. I call him Father. It's that place of Abba, that place of intimacy. Jesus speaking to the disciples in Matthew 5, 13 through 16, he says this, "You are the salt of the earth. If the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house." Then it says this, "Let your light shine before men in such a way that it may that they may see," talking about the world, "may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." He wants to draw us close in this season. This halftime adjustment, this period is about adjusting, coming back into that place of an intimate place with God as our Father. And recognizing the great love that he has towards you and I. God's love is great towards us. so great that he not only gave his son, but everything he purposed to do in and through us, he has set that in motion for it to come to pass. And all along the way, he will continue to cause his word to work to bring about his desire as our Father. I know that it can be challenging for some when your earthly father may not have been there, or your earthly father may have been one who could have been abusive, not shown any love, and so it's hard to connect with the sense of fathering or fatherhood. But Jesus came to show us the Father. That's why he said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He demonstrated the love of the Father. You and I have that same mandate to demonstrate the love of our Father. One of the responsibilities of a father in the natural and our Heavenly Father is that there are times when you've got to discipline.
All right.
Oh, amen. Yeah, I got an amen and an all right. It's in Hebrews 12, and we enjoy reading the part Hebrews 12, around Hebrews 12, you know, at the very beginning. Seeing we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which would so easily beset us. By the way, I had a moment when I was standing up there and we were worshiping, and Tammy was doing the flags, and she had her little cute sandals on. Then all of a sudden she realized this ain't working. She went over and kicked them shoes off. She was laying aside, see. Every, you know, it was encumbering her. And she said, I got to let that go. I just had to say that because I caught that in the spirit. That scripture came up in my mind, lay aside every weight and sin which would so easily beset you, and run with patience the race that is set before you, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of your faith, who for the joy that is set before you endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of Daddy. The right hand of the Father. He's like, you did good, son. Come on, sit down for a while. But we need to keep reading. Because it goes on and it says this in Hebrews 12, verse 4. It says, you have not resisted to the point of shedding of blood in the striving against sin. It says, and you have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord or the Father, nor faint when you are reproved by him. For those whom the Lord loves, who the Father loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. Man, that means you might get a whooping. Just say, ouch. But it's out of that place of love. It's out of that place of love. You know how our parents, you know, this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you. And it's like, nah, you lying. You think that, but you better not say it. Because it's going to get real serious. It says it is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons. So what son is there whom his father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. You see, it is the love of the Father that brings about discipline. And so I can remember growing up and getting whoopings, and you know, and you know, today they try to not let you do that. Matter of fact, some children got smart enough. What's that number they call 2241 kid? You know. Ha ha ha. I'm just saying, this is where our culture has gone. Now stay with me, because I'm really talking about the love of a father. I'm just trying to add some things to give context and help us think about it. But see, when I was growing up, it was like, oh no, go out in the yard and get a switch. Do any of y'all have to go get the switch that you're about to get whooped with? And it better not be a small one. Matter of fact, get three of them. And then you go out there and get them switches and come back in. And you're waiting on the anticipation of the whooping. But then you get talked to first. You know, you got to go to the bathroom. I mean, it's like, you know, everything starts, you know, can we just get this over with? And then all of a sudden, you know, it starts and you're getting whooped. And then all of a sudden it goes into a cadence. It's like they're rapping. And I told you that, you know, like, you know, now it's turned into something else. And then we doing like, you know, that's what I used to do. You know, oh, I'm going to hit every part of you. So now you're not getting your legs hit. Now you're getting your arms hit too. So by the time it's over, about every part of your body then got touched. But oftentimes, it was needful. Now, that's for those that are watching, listen, some of us just remember those days. That's all I'm saying. And while I didn't like it then, I'm better for it now. See, that's what this word is talking about here. That God's love for you and I is so great towards us that he will discipline us, redirect us, correct us, rather than let us keep going the way that we want to go. On Wednesday, I was talking about understanding the difference between, you know, having a strong-willed child and how that God will deal with your will but not break your spirit. And that's the place that we need to operate in wisdom, that I will not let you be willfully disobedient. I will deal with that, but I won't break your spirit. Because once you've done that, it may take years for that healing to take place, for that recovery to take place. It has been and it is still God's intention that his love would be modeled through his church, that his love would be modeled through fathers and mothers. God's love for us as our father is unconditional. That's why I love the story in Luke 15. Luke 15, we call it the story of the prodigal son, but I like the other narrative of the father. Because you can focus on what the son did and miss how the father responded. So for a few moments, I want to talk about the unconditional love of our father. The unconditional love of a father. And we can walk in this kind of love and be able to say, listen, I love you, but I don't like what you did. You can say, I love you, but I don't like you at the moment. See, the love supersedes it. Meaning eventually things will get balanced out again. And it's in this story, let me just read some of this. It's in this story, it says, and he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me. And he divided his wealth between them. And many days later, the younger son gathered everything together and went on a journey into a distant country, and there he squandered his estate with loose living. Come on, say he wasn't ready. Come on, say he wasn't ready for it. I do want to just throw this caveat in there as well. Some of the things that God has for you, he's holding them because he knows you're not ready for them yet. You're just about there, but you're not quite there. And so often, he'll just hold it. And if you're one that you're kind of starting to feel kind of some kind of way because it seems to be taking so long, maybe you need to start asking a different kind of question. Instead of asking why is it taking so long, maybe ask the question, what am I missing? What is it you need me to do? What is it that needs to happen in me that causes me or allows me then to be able to receive what you have for me? It says now, verse 14, now when he had spent everything, a severe famine occurred in the country and he began to be in need. And he went and attached himself to one of the citizens of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he was longing to fill his stomach with the pods and that the swine were eating, and no one was giving anything to him. But when he came to his senses, I choose to believe that in all of our lives, God, I'm talking about our Heavenly Father, knows how to wait for us to come to our senses. Now, you may think that I've always had my senses. But the truth is, the truth be known, all of us have lived in spaces and in moments when it just looked like we lost our minds. And God says, I'm going to wait. Like a loving father, unconditional love, I'm going to wait for you to come to your senses. And so it says here, when he came to his senses, he said, many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread, but I am dying here with hunger. I will get up and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me one of your hired men. And he got up and he came to his father, but while he was still on a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him and ran to embrace him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be your son. But the father said to his slaves, quickly, bring out the best robe. I love this because you see the unconditional love of the father. Because you see, the son, often as we do, things happen, we make bad decisions, and what we do is we disqualify ourselves. You disqualify yourself. He was saying of himself, I'm no longer worthy to be your son. I'd just be grateful to be one of these hired servants because they were living better than I was living out there. And what I love about this particular parable is that when the father saw him coming, he didn't wait at the door for him to get there. It says he went out and met him. And when he went out and met him, I love this about the scriptures because you see this in numerous scenarios. How that, can I tell you this? Sometimes you're focusing on something that clearly maybe you did that was wrong. And God understands and knows what happened. Your focus on it is more than his focus on that. So while you're trying to talk about that, he's already planning your future apart from that. You see, because when he runs out and meets his son, and his son says, you know, I've messed up. I'm not worthy to be called your son. I'll just be glad to be a slave. His dad said nothing about that. It says that he spoke to the servants and said, listen, go get the best robe. What I see in that is the moment, this is the love of our Father, this is the love of our Heavenly Father, the moment you and I turn back to him, he's coming to us. The moment you turn to him and start running to him, he's running to you. And the moment you acknowledge whatever it is, he's good. That's where repentance comes in. That's where the shed blood of Jesus comes in. That now we can move forward. He says, go get the robe. We're going to throw a party. My son has returned. And oftentimes, you and I, we don't walk away from our Heavenly Father in a very natural or geographical way like there, but sometimes internally. And God knows when we've returned. The son is just trying to work his way back in. Verse 22 says, but the father said to his slaves, quickly, bring out the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet and bring the fatted calf to kill it and let us eat and be merry. For this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found. And they began to be merry. Now, it goes on and talks about the older brother's response to that, but that's a whole nother message. We're not going to get into that because I want to focus on the unconditional love of our Father. The unconditional love of God. In 1 John chapter 4, it talks about the love of God. It talks about the fact that God is love. It says this, verse 7. Behold, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Say, God is love. Come on, say, my Father, my Heavenly Father is love. It says, by this love of God, by this, the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. It is this love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us because he has given us his spirit. We have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love. Say that. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this, love is perfected with us so that we may be confident in the day of judgment, because as he is also are we in this world. There is no fear in love. There is no fear in love. There is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out all fear, because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. Now, I want you to understand a little bit of that dynamic as it relates to God, our Heavenly Father, working in our lives, because sometimes we're not understanding why we're having to go through what we're going through, but it is God who is love that's working in our lives, and sometimes we're looking at it, and we're looking at it wrongly. We're challenged when disciplinary things happen. We're challenged when conflict happens. We're challenged when God allows things to go a certain way that really is part of our perfecting, our maturing. You see, that's when you've got to remind yourself that my Father loves me. My Father loves me. You see, it isn't about love always being manifested through the good times. It's love being manifested through all the times. And so I think about, just even in this moment, I think about the song "Lost in Your Will, Found in Your Grace" because of a line that's in the song. So some of you are familiar with this song. Let me be lost in your will, found in your grace, holding your hand and seeking your face. Let me be anchored in the safety of your secret place. Let me be lost in your will, O God, and found in your grace. And the next line says, I know you love me. Now, let me just tell you why that line is there. Because there were moments when what I was going through, I had to keep reminding myself of his love for me. I know you love me, and every plan you have for me is for my good. Your ways are much higher than I could ever imagine. So I've learned to put my trust in you, and I've learned to keep my eyes on you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, see, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear. Because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. Now, perfected in love, mature, settled in love. Halftime adjustment. The Father saying, I need you to know that I love you. And it may be someone watching by way of live stream. It may be someone in this room, and you've been doubting his love. You've been doubting his intentions concerning you because things don't seem to be happening the way that you thought they would happen. You need to say, I know you love me, and every plan you have for me is for my good. See, I had to tell myself that when I was walking through the situation that I was walking through, the health challenge. I had to keep telling myself that. I know he loves me. When I got on that plane and I flew to Montreal, Canada, to have that procedure. When I sat in my hotel room the night after having the procedure, just that night, just in the room, just resting. That's when I heard those words, let me be lost in your will, found in your grace, holding your hand and seeking your face. Let me be anchored in the safety of your secret place, lost in your will, found in your grace. I know you love me. I know my daddy loves me. I know my Father loves me. Can you say that right now? Then say it. Come on, somebody needs to say it again. Come on, if you're watching by way of live stream, say, I know my Father loves me. I know my Father loves me. I know my Father loves me unconditionally. I know my Father loves me. There is no fear in love, but perfected love, mature love, cast out all fear. We love because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also. The one who loves God should love his brother also. Jesus said, by this shall all men know you are my disciples, by the love you have one to another. Jesus came to demonstrate, model the love of the Father. He said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. His greatest act of love was at Calvary. His greatest demonstration of love towards you and I and all mankind, the greatest manifestation of the love of the Father was at Calvary. For God, our Father, so loved us that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. We're talking about an eternal love. We're talking about an eternal Father who would not let us die, would not let us go to hell. When people say, well, if God was so loving, why would he send you to hell? He ain't sending anybody anywhere. Adam did that. But God so loved us. Oh, I think about it. God himself said, I need to handle this business myself. I love that. I like to say he wrapped himself in humanity and said, I'll be back. I'm going to get my kids. For the word of God says that it was God in Christ reconciling the world to himself. I'm talking about the love of our Father. Halftime adjustment. Don't let the enemy move you into a place in this season of doubting God's love for you because it's challenging. Don't let the enemy move you into a place of doubting God's love for you because it's not coming together the way that you thought it would. Don't let the enemy cause you to doubt the love of God. Because you're in a challenging season. No, at best, just keep saying, Father, I know you love me. 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 And just stop there. Father, I know you love me. Sometimes we pray and like we've got to, keep saying things to God. I have found that the fewer the words, the better results. So when I'm praying for people, sometimes they probably feel like, well, man, he didn't seem like he was really into that at all. Because I wasn't saying a whole lot. I'm just going to say what I hear the Father saying, keep it moving. He fills in the blanks. He knows the rest of the story. I know you love me. And every plan you have for me is for my good. Your ways are much higher than I could ever imagine. So I've learned to put my trust in you. I've learned to keep my eyes on you. David understood this concerning God, concerning the love of God, and you can read it in the, you can read it in the Psalms. David says, and I'm paraphrasing now, it's like David said, no matter where I go, you're there. Some of y'all remember that song back in the day. You should sing, no, there is no hiding place. How many of y'all remember that song? It was a gospel song. There's no hiding place. God is everywhere. His love is everywhere. There is a confidence and an assurance that comes with knowing the love of a father.
That's right.
When you know that that father loves you, you can keep going.
Yes.
When that love of the father is demonstrated, it has a way of keeping you encouraged. My father was one who worked very hard. And he would do anything. He did all he could for us. I remember working a job, and I was working a fast food job, and I was working these late hours. And I remember I needed a ride, you know, to get back home because I was like closing the place. So it's like midnight, you know. By the time you cleaned everything up, some of y'all know the burger places. And I just never forget this one time because my dad was like, son, I got you. Son, I got you. I'm gonna pick you up. I'm gonna pick you up. I said, okay, dad. I go to work. And it just stayed with me. I go to work. And I said, when I get off work, he ain't there. Now see, didn't have the cell phones yet, so. So I just start walking. Now it's 1 o'clock in the morning. And I'm walking. I walk all the way home. And when I get home, God bless my dad, he's just tired. And we had the screen door. So I looked in. He was like, I was like, dad. He said, oh boy. Because he realized you're not supposed to be here. I'm supposed to be picking you up. But I couldn't get upset with him. I was so tickled by his response. Now, he said a couple other choice words I can't say to emphasize the fact that he had messed up. But I just remember that level of support and that level of sacrifice. Our Father, our Heavenly Father, loves us. Unconditionally. He is relentless in his pursuit of us, his love towards us. And as we look to moving into the rest of this year and beyond, going back to what I said a moment ago about Jesus being baptized, that the Father wants us to settle how he sees us, what he thinks about us. Someone may be watching right now, and you've been challenged because maybe some of the decisions that you made were not the best of decisions. You need to know that it has not changed God's love for you. It has not moved him one bit. There's nothing you and I can do to make it greater. There's nothing you and I can do to make it any less. Settle in yourself that my Father, my Heavenly Father, loves me. And he loves me unconditionally, and he loves me so much that he gave his son to save me. Yeah. Last scripture I want to read is out of Romans, the 8th chapter. Paul is writing, and this happens to be the same chapter where he says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and are the called according to his purpose. It says this, what then shall we say to these things? Now, I'm trying to pull this in, so you need to be able to go back and read at the beginning of 8 and get this part. If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? See, that's what we see with the father, with the prodigal son. His love was so great towards him, it didn't matter what he did with what he took. If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over to for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died, yes, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, the Father, who also intercedes for us. We like to talk about intercessors. We like to talk about intercessors, and that's a good thing. But every now and then, you got to remind yourself, you got the best intercessor that you could ever have, sitting right there at the right hand of the Father. I like to envision, he ain't doing like this. He's doing like this. He at the right hand of the Father. Talking about you. Talking about me. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? What will separate us from the love of the Father? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day. We're considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. And then he closes with this. For I am convinced. Can you say that this morning? I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, our Father, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Can you just lift up a shout of praise and thank God right now?